Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my two good colleagues, Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, and Bill Rajo, senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. The D.C. shooter, an Afghan immigrant, says the New York Times, but there's much more to learn of this story than the shooter and the tragedy of the death of the young National Guards woman who was standing her guard as deployed with a colleague. And around the corner came a man with a weapon and opened fire. And what is to understand about this story? It's a tragedy in all directions. And the man, Ramanullah, is now in custody, charged with first-degree murder, among other crimes. Bill and Hussein, I recount quickly what I learned from the New York Times feature on this, looking for a backstory of why he was there that day, Ramanullah Lakhanawal, and why he used a weapon against people he didn't know, who were dressed in the uniform of the United States Army. He was a member of the special services for the Afghan National Army. They called them zero brigades or zero regiments. I think he was 07. And where I first learned about them was those last days at Kabul during the evacuation withdrawal in 2021. I remember reading very carefully that the special forces of the Afghan National Army were demanding they be given priority for exiting the country and their families. And unless they had that promise and certainty from the U.S. authorities, they were not going to provide security at Kabul International Airport, which was pressed on all sides by Al-Qaeda, by ISIS. Who knows what number of bad actors were threatening. Now, Ramanullah Lakhanwal was successful in getting not only himself out, but his wife and five children, five sons. They were placed in the U.S. almost immediately in the fall of 21 and wound up in a small town in Washington State where they were given all kinds of opportunities, job interviews, green cards, a pathway to citizenship, subsidized rent in an apartment in Bellingham, Washington. And over the years, the shooter, Lakhanwal, looked to be integrating into a community that had very few Muslims, and they were thinking about moving to where more Muslims have been settled in Washington State. In any event, these are the family problems with five sons. He did interview for a job, and there were security jobs, but he couldn't hold a job, or he didn't hold a job. And at this point, it becomes psychology reporting by the New York Times about how depressed he was. I'm not pursuing his own story as a tragedy. It certainly is. I'm after how we got into this, which was abandoning Afghanistan and abandoning the men and families who had fought with us and beside us and supported us for 20 years. Bill, you've made this point repeatedly, but it's worth making again because I am anxious that Lakhanwal is not the last of these men who are in despair, rage against the United States. Why did we quit that day, Bill? Why did the special forces get deserted? The Taliban was not pressing to get into Kabul. They were never going to get into Kabul. This is a gang of cutthroats who are best executing women because they didn't wear the proper headdress. They're not warriors. Why did we do it, Bill?
Well, hello, John. And we did it. We left Afghanistan because the political will here in the United States to stay in Afghanistan from both Democrats and Republicans faded. It started under the Obama administration. He wanted to leave. He recognized leaving would be ugly, so he punted. President Trump, who likes to solve things with deals with unsavory people who shouldn't be trusted, cut a deal with the Taliban. He ultimately didn't withdraw, but President Biden, who had wanted to get out of Afghanistan as soon as Osama bin Laden was killed in neighboring Pakistan, he took that deal with the Taliban, and it was his signature foreign policy, right? At the beginning, very beginning of his term, he announced that withdrawal. So we left. We didn't have to. Look, the Taliban was taking control of ground in Afghanistan, but I agree with you. Had we stayed, I don't believe the Taliban would have been able to take over Kabul or Bagram Air Base or a lot of areas in the core center of Afghanistan. But along the peripheries and the more remote provinces in the southern and northern and east, they were gaining ground. The reality is we tired of it. But we had this idea, which is understandable, that we're going to let our Afghan partners in. But in the case of this shooter, Lakhimwal, he was a member of these zero units, which was they were fighting an ugly, dirty war. The zero units were a big part of that. They were necessary, but they were brutal, accused of human rights violations. I mean, look, they're fighting against a nasty enemy. Just because someone that fought in those units were stalwart allies, and if you read that New York Times article, you'll see multiple quotes. They were great fighters. Does that make them a great American? If we wanted to prevent things like this from happening, an Afghan coming to the United States to conduct an attack like this, we should have stayed in Afghanistan and supported those Afghans, but we didn't. And you're right. He's not the first, by the way, John. There's been other Afghans who have conducted attacks here in the United States. And I also fear he won't be the last.
Mr. Ambassador, your point of view here is vital because you saw this happening, spilling out, not just in Afghanistan, but in the whole region. The U.S. pulling out, is that the beginning of tragedy that will go on for decades even? Because of the frustration, alienation, and complete dislocation of the people who had to run away because the Taliban were moving into town. Good evening to you.
Good evening. The reason why we are discussing this particular incident is because it involves somebody from Afghanistan. Otherwise, the United States had 381 mass shootings, which did not involve Afghans, and the year 2025. Shootings are a very American thing. Let's be very honest. A lot of people do them. They do them at schools. They do them at colleges. They've done them at casinos. They've done them at hotels. They've done them in the streets. It's unfortunate. It is a function of people's mental health. We are told that unless somebody is part of a terrorist group, we don't consider it an act of terrorism. This person, of course, falls into the same category, except that he is from outside. And by blocking people from outside, we will still not end the unfortunate culture of people shooting others because they are frustrated with their lives or are angry. So that's one part of the issue. The other part of it is, of course, that yes, this man would, and his actions could have been prevented by a more sensible policy in Afghanistan. The United States went there, overstretched itself, decided to recast Afghanistan in its own image, which was a huge mistake. The ideal thing would have been to create a reasonably functional government that maintained order there and then give it some support and withdraw in an orderly manner many years earlier. That didn't happen. That's the way it happened in Vietnam as well. The United States goes from, and this is a function of our politics. It's a dysfunctional polity in which we go from one extreme to the other. So one extreme is, let's go guns blazing and let's go and reform and change and build institutions just like ours in a culture, in an environment where they might not take root. And the other extreme is, let's just pull out without thinking of all the aspects that come with that. Lastly, when we use others for fighting our battles, there is some responsibility involved. Now, I understand the point of view that you can't bring everybody to become a good American because they are not by temperament sort of suited for that. But if the idea was to use them there and then leave them in charge there, things would have been different. But that's not what we did. We left them there and they would have been targets of the enemy. So therefore, they should be brought with you. Unfortunately, this is the consequence.
And Mr. Ambassador, this particular tragedy, it's got a lot of detail I'm not pursuing. I wanted to stay to the question of leaving Afghanistan when we did in August of 2021. Do you believe that the Taliban would have captured Kabul if we'd stayed? Or do you think it was inevitable? Or would we have just planted ourselves there and commanded the countryside with air power? How would it have been if we'd stayed?
The Viet Cong would never have been able to take Saigon if the Americans had stayed on. The point is that holding on to a large city is much easier for an organized force like the United States military than it is for a weak domestic military that doesn't have the technological capability and the air power that the United States provides. Look, the U.S. mistake in Afghanistan was that we tried to build a military that Afghanistan itself could not afford. And then in case of air power, we insisted that they use American equipment, and which is too expensive for Afghanistan to have been able to afford. But as we left, we also didn't leave them any professionals to run that air force that we had built. So without air power, the Afghan Republic had no chance. And the U.S. withdrawal basically paved the way for the Taliban taking over Kabul. If the U.S. had even left some experts to help the Afghan Republic with the air force, I don't think Kabul would have fallen.
John, if I may respond to
when we come back, Bill, just a moment, I want to come to you. Bill Raggio and Hossein Haqqani reflecting on the tragedy of District of Columbia, the death of a young member of the National Guards and the severe wounding of another member, but also reflecting on what happened in 2021 that is still with us. The long goodbye. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.